So for the remainder of the split service, our elder, Wayne Carlson.
And good afternoon, everyone. Well, brethren, we're talking about a subject today that we find in Leviticus 13, a problem that was quite prevalent millennial ago. We hear very seldom of it now, but it's the subject of leprosy. The subject of leprosy. In Hebrew, the word means a blemish. It's a blemish. It's an organism. The organism that causes leprosy, it multiplies rapidly, very rapidly in the skin. And the condition gradually extends over the course of time. It gradually extends, causing nerve damage, resulting even in just gross deformities of the human body. I could have printed out some pictures, but they're gross. I mean, if you want to research this sometime, it just deforms. It can deform people just horribly. So we'll touch a little bit upon this as we go along. What happens? Well, the nerve endings eventually become dead, the nerve endings in your body, and fingers will drop off. And because of the deadening of the nerve endings, you could have your hand in a fire and not even know you're being burned. And you could cut yourself and you wouldn't even know it. So you're oblivious to pain is what happens. But Leviticus chapter 13, verse 1 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on his skin, on the skin of his body, a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous or blemish, then he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of the sons of the priest. The priest shall look at the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall look at him and pronounce him unclean. The decision came to the priest. They were trained in this, and you could go through this chapter. It's actually quite long. We're not going to go through this chapter verse by verse by any means. I just want to introduce the subject of leprosy. But he would appear before the priest. He would examine him. Oftentimes, might be uncertain what stage it is. He would say, go away, come back in 7 days. He would come back in 7 days. He would re-examine him again. And then he would say, go away for another 7 days and come back and see if it was developing, or if it was leprosy, if it was developing, or if it was going away. Verse 4, Leviticus 13, but if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore for 7 days, which I was just referring to. And the priest shall look at him on the seventh day, and indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. You can go through that chapter at your leisure, and you become a little bit more familiar with the situation. But if it was determined that the individual had leprosy, he or she was isolated. Go to the book of Numbers. We'll pick this part of it up. In the book of Numbers, they were expelled from the camp. They could not have contact with other people. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a dead body. As you'll see in that verse there, included in that was a leper. They were to be put out of the camp. They could not be with the camp of Israel. Romans 7:14, let's turn there. In Leviticus and Numbers, we know this is a part of the law of God. And the law of God is pure, it's good, as Corey was referencing in his message, that it is a blessing. The law of God, no matter how you cut it, how you divide it, it is a blessing to man. And Romans 7 and verse 14, Paul in his letter to the Romans says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law is spiritual. Where you go back through Leviticus 13, is very physical, has everything to do with the human body, and the priests examine it and see what's happening there. But that law is spiritual. It means, brethren, there are benefits from us understanding those law. And oftentimes, as with leprosy, particularly, it's clear there are spiritual ramifications in that analogies, I don't know if that's the correct word or not, that we can draw from that and sin. Leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of sin. The law is spiritual. And go back to verse 12, still in Romans 7. Go back a few verses. Verse 12, where it says, therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. So we don't want to read through these Old Testament laws and dismiss them and say, well, we don't suffer with leprosy anymore. Man has drugs and all this stuff to counter all of that. There are lessons to learn. And the value of the study of leprosy is what we can learn about sin. Because as sin, as leprosy, casts one out of the camp, so sin separates people from people, and it separates people from God. Jesus, in Luke 16, in his story, kind of reiterated and make sure that we understand that these laws are of great value to us nowadays. In Jesus' story about Lazarus and the rich man, he has Abraham saying to the rich man, I'm not going to turn there, but remember, it is a story that Jesus told to illustrate something. And Lazarus is shown appealing to Father Abraham. He says, Father Abraham, send somebody. I have brothers. Go tell them, warn them. I don't want them to come to this place. And in that story that Jesus told, he has Abraham saying to the rich man, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. So the question to us who live today, people of God, people of this world in general, will we hear? Will we hear what the prophets say? Will we hear what the law of God says? Such laws as Leviticus 13 were intended to make Israel a clean and healthy people. And thus you have such things as being ostracized from the camp. The lepers had to stay outside the camp. But the intention was to make Israel a clean and healthy people. The lessons and principles therein in these laws, the principles and lessons therein carry important lessons for us today. They will help God's people become or stay clean. Leprosy is, as I mentioned earlier, it's a type of sin. It is a type of sin. Consider these few principles here that I'll bring out, a few points that you might want to bear in mind. The comparison between leprosy and sin. Leprosy was contagious. Leprosy was contagious. Sin, we know, is contagious. You know, sleep with dogs, you're going to get fleas, right? Is an old saying. Leprosy was ever tending to increase. It had a tendency to spread. Sin has a tendency to spread. We know that. It was incurable except by the power of God. You couldn't go, you won't find, go back to Leviticus 13, you won't find the priest recommending a battery of supplements or a certain diet or more rest or anything like that. It was incurable. Only way out of it was through the mercy of God. It was a shame and a disgrace, leprosy was. It was deforming, again, as I mentioned earlier, and you see some of those pictures of poor people, your heart just goes out to them. It was deforming and disfiguring, and it had a terrible odor. It smelled. Leprosy stunk. Sin, as we know, sin stinks. Leprosy rendered one alone in the world. Again, they were cast outs. They were outside of the camp of Israel. And we'll touch on a few of those here as we go along. And it separated the person not only from his counterparts, his people in the city, it separated a person from God. He could not go to the temple. He couldn't go to the temple. Sin, we know, separates us from God. So if you was a leper, you come down with leprosy. If you had children, you were cast out. You didn't hold your children. You didn't embrace your wife. You touched nobody. If you drank water from an earthen vessel, that vessel had to be destroyed. You were not allowed to drink from a running stream because you could contaminate that stream. It was a horrible disease. It isolated in every way. Leprosy could get into the stones of the person's house. Actually, go back and read those laws. The leprosy could get in the walls. And the priest, again, was called in. And he would examine that. And the stones, in some cases, would have to be torn out. And then the other places would be scraped down. But if they came back and it was still multiplying, the leprosy was still in that house, the house was demolished. So you see the analogies, how clearly It is a type of sin, because sin brings that same destruction into the lives of people. Leprosy was an inward disease, even though you saw leprosy on the outside of the body. You saw it on the outside, but it was an inward disease. It showed itself, it manifested itself on the outside. It was an inward disease. Even though you saw leprosy on the outside of the body, the real cause of the disease was lying beneath the surface. Just as sin is that way, is it not? You know, we see sin, we recognize sin, but it stems from what? Stems from the inside, from our heart, our mind, and our desires. The sin didn't originate with our hands or our foot or our eyes. It came from inside. The real cause of the disease was lying beneath the surface. The sores and the other problems were merely symptoms. They were merely symptoms of the disease, but the cause ran much deeper. The cause of sin runs much deeper. Let's just go back again. These are scriptures that you're all very, very familiar with, but make this connection, this analogy. Go back to Genesis 6. At the time when God had the world flooded, what did he say? What did he say in Genesis 6, verse 5? He's told Noah he's going to bring judgment on this world. And verse 5 of Genesis 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is where sin comes from the intent and purpose of the heart. As with leprosy, the cause was inside. You saw the sores and the disfigurations, but that was a mere symptom of what was inside. We're not going to turn there, but as I know many of you have it clearly in your mind, what does Jeremiah 17:9 say? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? With leprosy, first, as best I was able to ascertain, first certain red spots appear in the skin, just little red spots. Didn't break out all of a sudden and just these horrible disfiguring sores right away. Certain little red spots would appear in the skin. They would be painless. One would scarcely know that he had the disease. Again, make a little analogy there between leprosy and sin. It would appear as certain little red spots on the body. Sin sometimes does not appear, brethren, to just spotty little thoughts that we have. Spotty little thoughts that are not dealt with and are allowed to manifest and become stronger and stronger. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, where Paul says, bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. It's just like leprosy. It just appeared as these little red spots, but it would develop. And our sin, the sin of mankind, brethren, it begins with thoughts, just minor little thoughts that are not dealt with, that are not brought into submission of Jesus Christ, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4 through 5, what I just mentioned. Subject to little pain in the beginning, when the person was developing leprosy, subject to little pain, very little pain in the beginning, but by degrees, he was actually rotting away. He was actually rotting away. Very unsavory subject, brethren, but it is so educational and such a warning to people who care to hear the warnings of God's scripture. Fingers would drop off, and it was ever increasing. Again, that connection between leprosy and sin, always increasing. In time, a human body would just become a horrible mass of kind of animated rubbish. It didn't even look human anymore, instead of the stately temple of God, which we should look like. Does not sin do that? Does not sin reduce a person down to a pile of moral garbage? It does that. And reduces our bodies down too. Particular, I don't have that in my notes, it just comes to my mind. What does many sexual sins do? You pick up what they used to call venereal disease. I don't call that anymore, what a sexually transmitted disease. What does it do? Destroys this stately temple of God and makes it into just this, as this one gentleman wrote, an animated heap of rubbish. Burns and cuts, as I mentioned earlier, commonly occur among lepers because of the loss or the impairment of the cutaneous sensation. In other words, you lose feelings. You don't feel anymore. You touch the stove, you wouldn't even know it. He could be at a campfire and inadvertently stick his hand in the fire and be burning his flesh and not know it. He's destroying himself because he's lost that sensitivity. Does not sin do that to us? Does not sin deaden our nerves over a period of time? As one gentleman I heard was using an illustration, young lady, 17, 18, 20, 22, whatever age you want. She went on a date and she allowed herself to be compromised, became engaged sexually, and she came home and was just beside herself. How did that ever happen? Why'd that happen? But then after some time, because nothing happened, it became a part of her life. It became a part of the dating scene. Leprosy increases ever. Sin ever increases in that way. This young lady who was very sensitive to it in the beginning lost that sensitivity. She was no longer sensitive to that sin because those nerve endings are damaged. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 makes a clear connection, brethren, for us, that sin does that to us as well, to man as well. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to come in on verse 17. This I say, therefore, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 4:17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility or the meaning hopelessness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts. The callousness you might see in some of your margins, you might see where it says hardening, the callousness of a heart. If you have a callus on your hand, that part of your hand becomes insensitive, does it not? It's calloused over. And that's what Paul in his letter here is saying. These people, through the hardening of their heart, they have become insensitive. Sin does that. Sin makes us insensitive. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, Paul in his letter to Timothy makes a very similar point. 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the first few verses, now the Spirit speaks expressly, saying that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So just as leprosy would make that victim of that disease insensitive, he could not feel, so sin does that to people. When we embrace it, and we continue down that path where we become insensitive to the damage that we do to other human beings, and we become insensitive to our relationship with God. It no longer bothers us that what we are doing is very disappointing to God. Bring this up in a little bit here. But what we need to do, brethren, about sin, if you ever take the time to look up some of those pictures about leprosy and see some of the photos that you'll find there, and realize that the way you see that leprosy is the way that God sees sin. God sees sin in the same way that we see leprosy. It deforms, it disfigures, it changes something that is in the image of God into a polluted mass that is a stench. So we need to see sin in the same way that God sees sin, the way that we see leprosy. In God's eyes, sin is the same way, because the conscience can become seared, as Paul said in his letter there to Timothy, with a hard iron. God sees sin the way man sees leprosy. It is revolting. It is disgusting. It is disfiguring. And it is just sickeningly repugnant. And that's what the lepers were, and therefore the law was out of the camp. And when they were determined to be leprous and sent out of the camp, it says he shall cover his mustache and say unclean. It just means this. If he was out and somebody was coming by, unclean, unclean, get away. Don't come near me. I'm unclean. And he was required to do that. And nobody wanted to be around him because they didn't want to get it. Leprosy separated a man from his community. Sin separates a man from his community of believers, and it separates a man from God as well, as I mentioned earlier. One of Paul's list of sins, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a couple of different places where Paul, I don't mean to imply this great comprehensive list of sins, that's not what I'm implying, but let's take a note here of something. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, and Paul here in his letter, 1 Corinthians 6, Paul, he's addressed different subjects in the beginning of that chapter. Brethren were suing each other in the courts of the society in which they lived. And in verse 8, no, you yourselves do wrong, speaking to, writing this letter to the brethren, and you defraud and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, Paul writes, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, Paul lists those sins. And again, those sins are seen by God. When we commit those, when we live that life of sin, it's grotesque to God. And we say, well, we're going to look at that and say, I'm not fornicating, I'm not committing adultery. And you can go through the list, but let's look, let's make sure we look a little bit deeper. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Sin, some strike us, brethren, as being worse than others, but sin will separate you from God. So we might say, okay, I'm not fornicating, I'm not committing adultery, I'm not a thief. Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at a little listing he gives us here too. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, make sure I'm in the right place here. Verse 30 of Ephesians 4, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, these things are sins too. These are sins like adultery, fornication. These are sins. And they make us grotesque. They make a person grotesque in the sight of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let all malice be put away. These are sins, and they make us abhorrent in the sight of God. They make us abhorrent in God's eyes. Bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, and unwillingness to reconcile, these attitudes are grotesque to God because we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And with the purpose, as Corey was bringing out, with the purpose, eventually, of being born into the family of God. But if we practice such things as that, God does not see himself in us. If we're unwilling to reconcile, and we have bitterness of any kind, all this different agitations of the soul, if we can put it that way, all this agitation of the soul, bitterness, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 speaks of that. And verse 15, we'll pick it up there, Hebrews 12, 15. Looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And he sees the association is made between bitterness and being defiled, just as leprosy was defiled. I picked this up a long time ago from somebody someplace, but Bitterness, gentlemen, put it this way. Bitterness is the acid that eats its own container. Bitterness is the acid that eats its own container. So if we have bitterness within us, we are the container of that bitterness will eat us, just as that leprosy would eat a human being and after some time wouldn't even resemble a human being anymore. Leprosy slowly eats its way through the tissues, to the bones and joints, and even to the marrow of the bone. So you see it on the surface, but there's a lot going underneath, rotting the whole body piecemeal, as sin does, little by little, rotting the whole body piecemeal. The lungs, even the organs of speech and hearing are affected in the course of this disease. The eyes were attacked, and it was not an intervention from God. Death was the only relief that person could look forward to. And it was horrible in Numbers chapter 12. Remember when Aaron and Miriam was obviously the one who got this thing going. But Miriam and Aaron had spoke against Moses. And in fact, let's go back to Numbers 12. They had spoke against Moses and contended with him. They actually, being presumptuous, they thought that Moses had more authority than what he should. And it's interesting the way scripture handles that, brethren. Numbers 12, verse 2. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And a really kind of frightening when you think about it. The last three or four words in that verse, and the Lord heard it. You know, this wasn't a prayer. This wasn't Miriam and Aaron praying. It was them complaining outside and said, well, Moses this and Moses that, and how come not me and how come him and blah, blah, blah. And it just, I find that not frighteningly humorous, I guess I'll put it that way. And the Lord heard it. And now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of this earth. And then suddenly the Lord said, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, you three come out here. That's scary. That is scary. Anyway, she was struck with leprosy. I don't want to take the time to go through that. Most of you are familiar with it. She was struck with leprosy. And Aaron, in verse 12, I'm going to pick it up in verse 12. Aaron said, when he saw his sister Miriam, his sister and Moses' sister, struck with leprosy, what did he say? As Aaron said to Moses, please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. She was struck with leprosy right there on the spot. And NIV renders that verse this way. Aaron is appealing to Moses. He says, do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. Horrible, horrible disease, a horrible disease. Leprosy, as with sin, brethren, leprosy could not be kept hidden. It couldn't be kept hidden. It may have been working underneath the flesh there for a while, but in time, just as sin, working behind the spotty thoughts, working behind the scenes, but it could not be kept hidden. Numbers 32:23, we're there in Numbers right now, at least I am, 32:23. This has nothing to do with leprosy, but it's interesting words that are spoken there. This is when they were go into the promised land, it was going to be divided up, and some of the tribes wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan. And Moses had talked to him about it, and he makes this statement. He's saying, okay, but you're going to fight with us, and you're going to keep your word, he says to those tribes. And in verse 23 of Numbers 32, he says this, but if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you out. It's like leprosy. Leprosy comes to the surface. Sins always come to the surface. Some men's sins, it says in 1 Timothy 5:24, says some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Some sins are just outward right from the beginning. You can see it. Other sins are hidden, kept underneath. But as Paul wrote to Timothy, in time, they will come forward. Luke chapter 12, Luke 12. And the words of Jesus, as I recall, Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. So Christ's own words, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Leprosy could not be kept out of sight. Sins cannot be and will not be kept out of sight. Leprosy is interesting. On three occasions, I just spoke about Miriam in Numbers 12, where Miriam and Aaron had spoken against Moses. Very presumptuous. They were presumptuous. And what happened? And the Lord heard it, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and they departed, and suddenly Miriam became leprous. God used leprosy as a judgment on Miriam. And in 2 Chronicles 26, let's go there. Remember King Uzziah? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Uzziah, he was a king in Judah. He became king over Judah at age 16. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought God, and it tells us in, we'll go to verse 15, 2 Chronicles 26. And he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men and to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So he went in there thinking that, you know, he's the king, and he's become proud. He became puffed up. He's going to burn incense on the altar. So Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord who were valiant men. And they withstood the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor before God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead. So God has, in those two cases, God used leprosy as a form of punishment, and perhaps because these sins were both sins of presumptuousness, obviously. There's another one where I'm not going to turn to that one. Remember the helper of Elisha, the prophet, Gehazi, that Elijah had turned down a reward from Naaman, who he had healed of leprosy. And Gehazi went after him, sought that reward, and the leprosy that was on Naaman came upon him. So it would be cases, a punishment from God. Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. And Ron Butler, cowboy, that was not a sermon given on horseback. This is where he was up on a mountain. But anyway, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, brethren, it contains some of the simplest teaching. Hard for me to understand the Bible. Go read the Sermon on the Mount. There's nothing complicated about the Sermon on the Mount. It may be difficult to live by it. You'll need God's help to live by it, but it's easy to understand. There's nothing where you have to understand the 144,000 and the spinning wheels or anything of Ezekiel. It's just teaching about how to live. So here Christ has given this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then let's go to chapter 7 and verse 7. We'll pick up a couple of verses here in verse 7. And he's beginning to come to the end of this message. And he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." So he's coming to the end of that sermon. Then what happens? Interesting thing, brethren. Right after that sermon, go to chapter 8. "And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." So I'm assuming that Matthew has some aspect of the chronology correct here. After the sermon, because it's the way it would read in verse 8, in chapter 8 anyway, he's coming down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if you were willing, you can make me clean." Notice he doesn't say, "You can heal me." He says, "You can make me clean." He had to be cleansed, and God could pronounce him clean. But you can understand, it doesn't tell us any more about this individual, but he is excluded from the population. When Jesus had come down the mountain, the leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if you were willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus did something absolutely unthinkable. He put his hand up and touched this outcast of society. Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately he was cleansed. He was healed, cleansed immediately. Jesus touched and made clean, made whole that which was untouchable. He made whole that was untouchable. Surely, brethren, we can see the analogies between sin. And Jesus will do the same regarding sin in our lives, those who will come to God. Interesting side note, I can't prove it, but if you go to, I'm not going to turn there, but Mark 14 says Jesus at dinner, he's having dinner at Simon the leper's house. And Mark also covers this part in a different chapter of Jesus healing this leper. Nobody can say, scripture doesn't tell us, but would that Simon the leper be this leper who Jesus healed when he came down from giving the Sermon on the Mount? It's not important to our salvation, obviously, brethren, but Jesus reached out, touched that man, and that was completely unthinkable that he would do that. But Jesus did. Remember, the law of God is spiritual. The law is spiritual. We want to not just understand the particulars as we go through Leviticus 13 of how leprosy was handled then, but we want to benefit, brethren, in our analogy of it, the comparison of it, because it is a type of sin. This leper, he reached out to him. He says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. This man's life was hopeless. Did he have a wife and children that he had been separated from for years? Was he an outcast? Again, couldn't even drink from a stream of water because it was contaminated. Couldn't touch. If they were walking down a trail, if there was a stone there, a rock that other people might sit on, that leper couldn't even sit on that stone and rest himself, because somebody else might get the leprosy from. That's how bad it was. But he reached out, or he spoke out to Jesus and asked for his mercy, and Jesus reached out and healed him. Have you ever seen yourself as that leper? Have you ever seen yourself as that leper? Because God sees, in God's eyes, our sins are as grotesque as a deformed leper is in our eyes. So have you ever came to that point where you saw that need and reached out and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You can cleanse me of this, because I know what's working on the inside of me, God. It doesn't show outwardly, but I need to be cleansed. That's what this leper is saying. Remember, Jesus chose, I would have to certainly imagine, I can't tell you that scripture says this, Jesus had finished that Sermon on the Mount. Did Jesus chose the foot trail down that mountain that brought about that encounter? That wouldn't tax my mind to think that it wasn't just happenstance, but Jesus chose the path to come down, knowing that leper would be there and knowing what he would do, knowing what would take place. And then Jesus reached out and made him clean. John 6:44, what does it tell us? No man can come unto me unless the Father bid him. Jesus brings, as he brought about that encounter with that leper, an encounter was brought about in your life and will eventually be brought about. An encounter will be brought about in the life of every human being who ever lived, that God will see to that encounter. And the leper had that opportunity. He took advantage of it and he asked to be cleansed. The leper knew he was a leper. The leper knew he was a leper from the inside, and he could not make himself clean. He knew he couldn't make himself clean. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. All have sinned. Let's turn there. Not that we are talking here as among ourselves and brethren of God, that we are all filthy with sins. We've repented, hopefully, but we do. We fall. We fall short. And sometimes we do not see our sins, such as malice and bitterness, in the grotesque manner that they appear to God. Because it is a leprous condition to be bitter. It is a leprous condition to have malice and discontent in your heart. That is a leprous condition. Where you've had the opportunity, it says in John 6:44, that encounter has been made possible. You have that encounter with God. Romans 3:23 tells us clearly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all have sinned, all needs to be cleansed. King David, in Psalm 51, which I'm not going to turn to, you read through that. What is he asking God? He says, cleanse me, wash me, and I shall be white. I shall be cleansed. Maybe prior to that, King David never realized how grotesque sin was to God. But obviously in Psalms 51, you read through that, it became very, very apparent to him. Romans 5. Let's turn to Romans 5. Romans 5, because we're talking about this encounter with a leper that Jesus healed him. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have now received the reconciliation. So that is an example, brethren, of Christ healing that leper, that Christ offers that spiritual healing to his people, to the people who will cry out and ask for God's to make him clean, just as that leper wanted to be clean. Remember God, I know I've repeated this several times, remember God sees sin as we see leprosy. It disfigures, it deforms, it is repugnant to the eyes, and it is repugnant to the nostrils of God, sin is. It's just as if you were to see a leprous person, if you were to come encounter somebody like that, you would turn your eyes away. You know, there's certain things that you turn your eyes away. They just, you don't want to see it. It's unpleasant. It's just unpleasant. Second Peter, chapter 2, 2 Peter 2. Peter here, I believe, is speaking of false teachers. He brings in something that's interesting as we talk about this subject of leprosy. And I mentioned earlier about it starts with these little spots on the flesh. Interesting, too. I don't know if I mentioned this. On the hands and on the eyes is where those spots first appear. We sin with your eyes, do we not? Do we not? Our eyes draw us places and then our hands go there. I find that interesting observation. Oh, 2 Peter 2:12. 2 Peter 2:12. But these, Peter here is writing this letter and he's talking about false teachers. And he says, but these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots. They are spots and blemishes. To me, to see the correlation between that and leprosy. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. So you can see a similarity to that. And it goes on to talk, it speaks more about those deceitful teachers. There was, as I mentioned earlier, in Leviticus 13, there was a period of judgment. The leper would come in, he would be examined, the priest would go over his skin, sometimes head to foot, and examine him. And there was this period of judgment, period of determination. Is this leprosy or is this not leprosy? Is it receding? Is it going away? What's going on here? There was this period of judgment. What does it tell us in 1 Peter? Again, to draw an analogy between the leper and sin and the time of us, brethren. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, where it tells us, just as there was a period of judgment when that priest would examine that leper, and then he'd come back in 7 days, and he'd come back in 7 days, and he'd come back in 7 days. What's going on here? The priest wanted to know. And 1 Peter 4:17 says this, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? That period of judgment is on you and I right now. It's our time before the priest. It's our time before the priest. Are we clean? Are we clean? Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews 8. And who did the victim of the leprosy, who did he go to for that determination? Who did he go to be made clean? The high priest. What does it tell us in Hebrews 8, 1? Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. Christ is our high priest. He is the one that we go to. Christ is the one that we go to. 2 Peter, this will be the final verse we'll turn to. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3. So you can see, brethren, I think as you go through this, and there's much more that could be brought out, the comparisons between leprosy and sin and how it destroys. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, we'll start there. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, to what God's purpose in our life is, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot. None of those little red spots are appearing on our hands or in our eyes, to use that analogy. And then verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory, both now and forever. Amen.